I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music by David Arnett Cherry. Find out more about his music at davidarnettcherry.com. A few years ago, veteran actor and director Kevin Jones set off to change the racial ecology of Portland theater, and he's been accomplishing just that, not just with his masterful performances and directorial projects, but as the director of August Wilson Red Door Project, he's helmed the August Wilson Monologue Competition for Young People, and most recently created a groundbreaking touring production of Hands Up, Seven Playwrights, Seven Testaments. Today, we find out more about Kevin Jones and the Red Door Project's work, and we're also going to get a special excerpt of the show, yes, from actor Alonzo Chadwick, as well as his experiences performing Hands Up. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. Live in the KBOO studio is Kevin Jones, co-founder and artistic director of the August Wilson Red Door Project. Welcome back, Kevin.
It's good to see you, Dee Mae. How are you?
I'm good. Eager to start the show. And with them is actor Alonzo Chadwick. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. And welcome both to Stage and Studio. So good to have you here. Now, Kevin, I want to ask the engineer to turn down Alonzo's mic just for a little bit. Yes, thank you, so you can hear me better. I had the opportunity to see Hands Up, Seven Playwrights, Seven Testaments recently at the Theater Communications Group Conference, TCG. And, it was just an amazing experience. And as some background for our listeners who have not seen it, the play has seven autobiographical monologues written by seven different playwrights, and they were commissioned by the New Black Fest in New York City, and this commission came after the deaths by police of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and John Crawford III in Beaver Creek, Ohio. And the Red Door Project has toured Hands Up throughout Portland and Oregon, and it creates a new model for community transformation and healing through the facilitated post-show conversations. So, Kevin, would you walk us through? I mean, this has become a phenomenon here in Portland. I mean, more than 6,000 people have seen it, and it's growing. Would you walk us through the germ of the idea of producing this work and how it's grown to this this phenomenal experience for people?
Sure. Real briefly, the Red Door Project's mission is to change the racial ecology of Portland through the arts. And we used Hands Up. We saw Hands Up as a bullseye in terms of an opportunity to really do exactly that, as far as connecting art with culture. It wasn't planned that the profiling that was happening and the shootings that were happening was not planned that that would coincide with Hands Up performances, but that is exactly what it did. The show came to us from New York. I was sitting on my desk for a long time. I'd been debating on whether or not, is this the right show? Because it was a little bit, incendiary in some ways, and I didn't want to be a part of that. But then I realized that the show is really about healings for us as a culture, to face into what are the things that we're dealing with as a community right now.
Well, I like that you went through that thought process, because it is controversial in some respects.
Sure.
I mean, there are some hard-hitting things coming out of the monologues that need to be said, especially in this community here in Portland, but every community. But I'm glad you walked through that, and it seems like, that it has been received rather well, not just in Portland, but around Oregon, too.
Yeah, it really has. We made a point to not advertise this through the mainstream media. We wanted it to be a show that would grow through word of mouth, through community members saying to themselves, to their family, to their friends, to their coworkers, hey, this is a show that I want to share with you because I want to have a conversation about it. And this is a great way to introduce that conversation. So it grew from that, and it continues to grow from that. And it is a phenomenon. It kind of blows us away, actually.
It's wonderful when a work touches people this deeply, and we're going to talk more about that. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio, and if you missed any of this start of the interview, hear it again at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, talking with the Drammy Award and LA Drama Circle Award-winning veteran theater artist Kevin Jones. He's the co-founder, artistic director of August Wilson Red Door Project, an organization that uses art as a catalyst to transform the racial ecology of Portland. And with him is actor Alonzo Chadwick, who has performed the play Hands Up, Seven Playwrights, Seven Testaments, directed by Kevin Jones and produced by Red Door. And the show's coming back with two more performances on July 22nd at 7:30 p.m. and July 23rd at 2 p.m. at Wieden and Kennedy, and that's located at 224 Northwest 13th Avenue in Portland. And you can find all, you know, if you haven't seen it, you can actually get the reservations at, here's the email, boxoffice@reddoorproject.org, or just go to their site, reddoorproject.org. It is free, but it gets sold out rather quickly in reservations, right?
Sure does, yeah. We tend to overbook because it's free. People
sometimes don't show up.
Yeah, but yeah. We've got it. We've worked it out to a science now, so we know how when to shut the door.
But shut people the should red come.
Door. Yeah, Wieden and Kennedy is a great space because we can always squeeze a few more people in there.
Okay.
So please come.
Yes. And I have that link also, Red Door Project's link at stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Now Alonzo has been waiting here, and we're going to bring his mic up. And you have a short excerpt from one of your monologues, right?
Yes.
Hands Up. Now, have you performed this before?
I have. I've performed it quite a few times.
So, you know, can you give us like a lead-in before you start? Because you're going to do the first part of this monologue, and it's called, what is it called?
Superiority.
Superiority Fantasy, mm-hmm. right? By Nathan James. So can you give us like a lead-in? Like what's kind of set the tone for us or set the stage for us?
Yeah, it's kind of like a basically a conversation that kind of just is taking place to just kind of set the stage for this kind of intense conversation that just needs to be had about the difference between, you know, a white person versus a Caucasian person. And so I think it kind of explains it once you go into the monologue.
Okay, so we're going to hear Superiority, a Fantasy by Nathan James, read, performed by actor Alonzo Chadwick.
I think there's a difference between a Caucasian person and a white person. See, a Caucasian person is one whose skin just so happens to be lighter than ours. They're just trying to get through life in America the same as black people are, and they don't treat you any differently than anybody else. But a white person? When a white person walks into a room or on public transportation, you can tell just by the way that they look at you that they know they're white and you're black. It's the smugness on their face when they look at you. When they come to events in our community, they act like they should get special treatment or some merit badge for coming off of their high horses and spending an evening with the help. And when you enter into majority white areas, they look at you like you're lost. What you are about to hear will not be pleasant for your ears. When I speak of white America, I am not talking about every white citizen in America, but I speak of the majority of America who influences the laws while giving their consent to protect their privilege. It's pretty much the same way I feel about cops. I know they're not all asses. I know some who actually do a lot of good in the black community. If I or my loved ones were in danger, I'm sure I would call them. But for the majority, I don't trust cops. I know it's harsh and I know it's wrong, but I would not be true to myself if I stood here and told you that I trusted any cop that I did not know personally before he put on that badge. See, anytime I see that uniform and badge, I immediately go into this really dark place where I begin to unconsciously think about all the times those bastards have harassed me since I was 14 years old.
And that was actor Alonzo Chadwick performing a piece from his 15-minute monologue called Superiority Fantasy by Nathan James. And this is from the show Hands Up at Red Door Project. Thank you for performing that. I always say reading because most people read their works when they come on stage and studio, but you did such a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, you know, Alonzo, I read an article, I think it was the Oregonian?
Mm-hmm, the Oregonian.
Where you talked about how you personally relate to mm-hmm. this character and this monologue. Would you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's funny, when I perform this piece, a lot of times I'm approached afterwards and people say, oh, wow, thank you for sharing that work and, you know, during that piece. And I often respond and say, well, thank you. Although these are not my words, it is actually my experience. Most of the things that happen or take place in this monologue particularly have actually happened to me right here in Portland.
Well, you know, in that article, too, you talked a little bit about how your mom had the talk with mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. I remember that talk she had with me. It was around the age of about 12 or 13. And she kind of had to prepare me and tell me that if you're ever approached by officers, you need to make sure that you comply. Don't talk back. Be respectful. Put your hands up. Keep your hands where they can see you. And she had tears in her eyes when she shared it with me and said, because I want you to come home. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be killed on accident because they think that you're doing something that you, you know, shouldn't be doing, when I know that that's not who you are and that's not the way I raised you. But unfortunately, everybody doesn't see you the way that I see you. And I need to make sure that you come home safe.
How often have you been stopped by police?
I've actually lost count.
Really? In Portland?
In Portland. From the age of 12 was my very first encounter with police officers, and I actually had guns drawn on me. And my last encounter was probably about 2 years ago, and I was actually hit by Portland police on my bicycle.
And this is just from riding your bike?
Just riding my bike, correct.
Okay. I hate to hear these stories,
yeah,
but unfortunately, they're not that uncommon.
Very common.
For black men in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Hands Up is so important, to
exactly
get the word out on that. I'm wondering, what's it like for you personally to perform this, though? I mean, it's so rare to get, you know, a theater piece that speaks to one's heart so completely. Mm-hmm. What's it like for you, you know, to perform this as a black actor?
It's kind of dual for me. On one end, it's kind of therapeutic. On the other end, it's kind of triggering, you know, because you have to relive these experiences. You have to tap back into that
emotion. It's difficult.
Yeah, you have to tap back into that emotion, that anger, that frustration. But on the other end, I actually get to give voice to the issue that normally is ignored. And I get to say it in a room full of people that have to listen to me. And they have to hear what I have to say, whether they want to or not. You know, in a regular setting, they can get up and walk out, or they can ignore me, and, you know, but here you have to sit and you have to listen to what I have to say.
You feel like you're heard.
I feel like I am heard. I do.
And, you know, what's it like to take part in the conversations after this show?
It's dual. It's kind of therapeutic, mm-hmm, at times, but then at times it can be frustrating because
it's work, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's hard exactly work. You're also, speaking of work, you're involved in the Black Parent Initiative.
I am.
What is that? Would you tell us?
It is basically a nonprofit organization here in Portland, and our whole mission is to offer resources to parents to ensure Black parents or parents of Black, biracial, multiethnic children to make sure that they are in a place where they're able to be successful, because oftentimes, if parents aren't successful, it's difficult for children to be. So our approach is more so to work directly with the parents to ensure that they get the support and help and resources and tools they need so they can be that support and strength to their children.
Are you a Portland native?
I am. Well, no, I
sort
am.
Sort of.
I'm an Oregonian for sure. I've been here since 85. So.
Well, I'd say that counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because you're not that old, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly,
compared to, you know, Kevin and me here. Okay, just me, Kevin. Just me. Well, you know, this is so tremendous to hear, you know, that the response that you're getting, you know, from doing this. I mean, you feel when you perform this, mm-hmm, this piece. But it's also, you know, so needed. I also just want to do a shout out for the rest of the monologues too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit. You might have to help me with some of the names, but we also have from Holes in My Identity by Nathan Youngerberg.
That's good.
And let's see if I pass this test.
Mm-hmm.
They Shooting or I Ain't Never Scared by Idris Goodwin, who I love.
Well,
I love his work.
Yeah,
Dead of Night, The Execution of Nambi E. Kelly. Mm-hmm. Is that the woman's monologue?
Yes.
Oh, that was so moving. Of course, as a woman, you
sure,
know,
yeah.
I'm so glad there is a female monologue in there.
It was originally just
terrible.
Six, and then, you know, we Keith Atkins, who is the curator and artistic director, he wanted to put a woman in there.
It's important.
Really important.
Yeah. I mean, Sandra Bland, you know, I mean, geez,
absolutely,
you know. And then there's Abortion, and this you'll have to help me. Sangu.
Jerem.
Jerem?
Sangu Jerem, yes.
Jerem.
Yeah.
And Walking Next to Michael Brown by Eric Holmes and How I Feel by Dennis Allen II.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very powerful monologues, and they were commissioned based on the experiences of the playwrights. They wrote about their own experiences.
Right. I mean, for the most part, they were asked to, I mean, Keith, again, Atkins, who is the curator and artistic director, spent a lot of time with them. And actually, they popped those monologues out in a relatively short period of time, in less than 6 weeks. He really encouraged the writers to not just write about their feelings about the profiling, but what does it bring up for you as an African American? What does it make you think about? What is it? What are the questions that come up for you? Where does it get hard for you? What are you still not be able to really talk about, and maybe you don't have answers for? So those, because these are professional playwrights who are accomplished playwrights, they were able to really access the nuances and the complexities of being in this, living as an African American in this particular culture today, in a way that people think, oh, this is going to be just about, you know, some black people on stage being mad about the police. It's not that at all. People walk away feeling enlightened by the experience, because we take them on a journey, the black experience, in a way that is very powerful and very effective.
Well, you know, the most interactive part of this, I mean, the whole show feels like you're having conversations, you know, mm-hmm. with the audience directly. But the very last piece really dramatizes how impossible it is for any person to hold their hands up for a long period of time. And Alonzo, you were saying your mom gave you that talk about putting your hands up, but mm-hmm. that last monologue is all about keeping your hands up mm-hmm. for that mm-hmm. entire monologue, and it's really next to impossible.
Yeah.
And it just really dramatized how when dealing with police requests to do that, that any movement could be perceived as some kind of threat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Dennis did a wonderful job in writing that story. He was actually having a lot of trouble writing it because he just couldn't get, Keith kept saying, you know, no, man, I want to know how you feel. You know, you're talking too much from your head. And so this monologue is an answer finally to how he feels. And, you know, the experience, the physical feeling, the physical experience of having to do something that you first don't want to do and something that's extremely painful, I think is a great metaphor.
And it's physically painful.
Absolutely.
Physically painful for any length of time.
Yes.
So, Kevin, you have performed this for police,
yes.
Portland police.
That's right.
What was that experience like? Alonzo, were you at one of those performances?
I was.
Too?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so if
yeah.
you could both speak to that. Kevin first.
Well, I mean, I feel compelled to talk about how it came to be, but I'll skip that part and just say that...
Well, no, you can talk about anything
okay.
you want.
Oh, okay,
Kevin.
Good. well, you know, it actually picks up from where Alonzo was talking. When he performed the show early on, a police officer approached him after the show, and from that approach, they sat down and had coffee.
Oh, so you had a conversation after with a police officer.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is where the article on the Oregonian came
right,
from.
Right.
Early on in our show, in our performances, someone in the audience said, the police need to come see this, you know. And so a woman who was a counselor for the police said, well, I'm going to see what I can do. And she informed Mike Krebs. I don't think he'd mind me mentioning his name.
Well, he was in the article, too.
Oh, right. Yeah exactly.
Yeah.
So they had a great conversation. And Mike then said, well, we need to get more police involved. And he introduced me to the captain of the police academy, Bob Day, and we sat down and talked. And you know, Bob is a straight cop. He says, "Hey, listen, you know, I got to tell you, you know, I'm a cop, and I stand by everything that we do. And you know, if you think you're going to just change me and get me to see it your way, it's just not going to happen." And I explained to him that no, that's not what we want to do. What we want to do is have a conversation, and we want to start from where we are, not. We're not interested in getting you to be on our side or us on yours. We just want to start from where we are and talk about our experience, which is what Hands Up is all about. And from that, after a year of us going back and forth, we wound up performing Hands Up in a place within the police academy building called Scenario Village, which is where they train their police officers to, it's what automatic rifle training. So it's like a movie studio. It's, you know, streets and buildings and bridges and stairs and alleyways, all designed to train police officers to be more accurate in their shooting. So we performed the show, 22, yeah, we performed it right there on the streets, which was really quite ironic. The actors were coming from different buildings and from the alleys, and it was very dramatic, I have to say.
Oh my
God. I did a good job.
it seems... dangerous.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so 22 cops came, and they were out of uniform, and they sat very quiet. There was no applause until the very end, and we had an amazing talk back afterwards where the police officers were, some of them said, you know, some incredible things like, you know, in the 32 years that I've been a cop, I've never experienced anything like that before. I don't agree with everything that I witnessed. I feel like a lot of the facts were left out of this show, but what I heard was the feelings, the experiences of another, and I never thought about that before. And so from that, we said, well, let's do some more of this. And Captain Day was on board. He was willing to do that. And so we're going to do it again in September.
Well, and we're also going to be, Kevin, you and Captain Day are going to be continuing this conversation, and I'm moderating it.
Oh, right.
City Club of Portland this Friday at 11:30 a.m. downtown. And then it'll be rebroadcast, I guess, broadcast later. It's not going to be broadcast live. But it's interesting that you have this relationship with Captain Day.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
and for you, Alonzo, what was it like to actually sit down with a cop and you know, have coffee?
It was actually really, really interesting. I would say that the day before we were set to meet was the day that the Dallas police shootings happened. So I had so much anxiety. I feel like it was going to be a good conversation.
Well, there's a play there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right.
So I felt like we were going to have a good conversation, you know, based on the play. And then that happened that week. And then I felt like, oh, that's going to totally like take us backwards.
Totally.
But it actually ended up being very good. It was very good dialogue. He actually brought a rookie cop with him. So the three of us sat down and shared experiences and stories. And it was actually very informative. I learned things that I didn't think about from police perspectives. They learned things from our perspective, speaking on behalf of, you know, young black men. So it was really good. We had very good dialogue. We didn't agree on everything, of course, but mutually heard each other and was willing to listen. So.
Have you kept this relationship going?
Yeah, I have actually. He actually came and saw me perform downtown because I'm a vocalist as well. So he actually came to one of my shows.
He's got a beautiful voice, I just got to say.
Oh, really?
It's an amazing voice.
You want to sing one line of something?
No.
You can't tell me you sing and not do it. Okay, next time.
Next time.
You
next
have
time.
To keep me posted.
Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
All right, because I do want to hear you sing.
Yeah,
so, you know, this is so incredible, you know. And before we go, I just want to give a shout out to other actors that are in the show too. Do you want to tell us?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, now that let's see, we
because
have...
you've had so many incredible.
Oh,
it's
my
like you
god,
have a rotating rep of actors.
Yeah,
right?
Well, we've got Jasper Howard. We've got
is Anya Pearson going to be performing again?
Anya Pearson will be performing, but not this coming weekend.
Oh, okay.
This weekend we have Ty. Oh god. Last name. Anyway, I know everybody else. Jonathan Thompson, Letevin Alexander, and
is Joe Gibson.
Joe Gibson,
okay.
And we have a new member, Blake Edwards.
This is so great that you are keeping this rotating rep of actors, too.
Yeah,
it's been
great.
And it gives actors an opportunity to look forward to for something in Portland. And it's hard for actors of color.
No, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's not as hard as it used to be, but there's another kind of hard. That's another conversation.
Another kind of hard.
That. Yeah,
I do want to have that
hard.
Conversation, actually. August Wilson Red Door Project presents the new Black Fest, Hands Up, Seven Playwrights, Seven Testaments, directed by Kevin Jones, July 22nd at 7:30 p.m. and July 23rd at, I guess it is this weekend. The time is going by so fast. July 23rd at 2 p.m. And so it's at Wyden and Kennedy, great space, 224 Northwest 13th Avenue, Portland. More info at reddoorproject.org, and I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. It is free and open, but its reservations are recommended. So I assume you're going to be doing more of these shows though throughout Oregon.
Yes, yeah. We are. Hopefully people should just go to Red Door Project dot org and get posted on our list, and we'll keep you posted on the next shows.
Did I hear something from that last show that you might be doing a collaboration with the Portland Police, like some kind of show?
Yeah, we are putting together another play. It's called Cop Out.
Ooh.
And it's same format as Hands Up, working with the same actors that we have now, and they will be switching roles and performing cop monologues as well.
I am so excited about that.
Yeah, we're very excited.
It's healing. I mean, Alonzo, we didn't talk about some of the, the conversation specifically, mm-hmm. but it seems like, to have actors returning to this, even though it's a difficult conversation, a difficult material to do, that there must be something that's happening as far as healing, for both the actors and, the community, as well as the police community, too. Yeah.
Well, I would say that before doing this becoming a part of this, I really didn't have hope at all that there would ever be any type of reconciliation, healing, even conversations. But since doing this, it definitely has opened up my eyes to the possibilities. So,
well, Kevin Jones, Alonzo Chadwick of Hands Up by August Wilson Red Door Project, thank you for joining us today. Great
thank
conversation
you,
and great work for the community.
Yeah.
Kudos to you both.
Before
we go, I want to do a shout out. Jaw, a Playwrights Festival is happening July 28th through the 30th at Portland Center Stage. There are 4 stage readings of new plays, and all are free to the public, but one of them I want to draw your attention to is called In Old Age by Umfancio Udofia. She's an incredible writer, and it's happening July 30th, Sunday at 4 p.m. In Old Age is set in a derelict New England home and is part of the nine-play cycle, her nine-play cycle, about the Nigerian-American immigrant experience. Mm-hmm. Find out more about this play as well as other ones selected at Jaw Playwrights Festival at Portland Center Stage at pcs.org. And that's it for Stage and Studio. Thank you for joining me today. My thanks to cable engineer Judy Feistel. If you missed any of the show, visit stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You can also download shows at iTunes. Don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with more music by David Arnett Cherry at davidarnettcherry.com.
It's not the freedom from something, but the freedom to do something that determines the direction. It's not the avoidance of tonality, consonants, meter, and everything else likely to awaken association.